Decking number 194 for Thursday, October the 29th, 2015, unless the computer is lying to me, in which case I don't know what year it is. That wasn't nearly as seamless as I wanted as a joke. I'm Orps. This is the show about stuff that interests me, and tonight I am drinking Newcastle Brown Ale. Madman, what are you drinking?
Guinness Blonde.
Ooh.
And nitrogenating a lager makes it taste weird.
I'll bet. Static, what are you drinking?
Nothing yet, just the typical pills.
Pills here.
Pills here.
Mm-hmm. I had to refill them at the prescriptions today, so yes. Multiple pill bottles today.
You ever watch Neurotically Yours?
No, I have not.
It's a crazy YouTube channel. I don't know that you'd particularly care for it. But one of the characters on there is named Pillsy and is just hopped up all the time and reminded me of that for some reason.
That's how I feel.
He makes less sense than you do. So, and finally, the Suave Potato. Suave, what are you drinking?
I am still working on my giant box of wine.
Just good lord. How many giant... weeks has that been?
I don't know, like one.
I'm just imagining you holding the box and just chugging.
Well, I'm rapidly approaching that point. It's getting close to the end.
You almost ought to make a YouTube video of that, just standing there chugging out of a box of wine. Make it look like you just chugged the whole thing. And then for good effect, fall over. So, anyway, Static and I have already been going at it for like an hour on this, so it'll be kind of interesting to see where the conversation goes.
All right.
Microsoft is making Windows 10 an automatic update. They're putting it in the recommended category next year.
Ooh.
Now, the actual bit from the article here, early next year, it'll be categorized as a recommended update. This is significant because it means that systems that are configured to download and install recommended updates, which for most people is the safest option, it also happens to be the default, will automatically fetch the upgrade and start its installer. The installer will still require human intervention to actually complete. You won't wake up to find your PC with a different operating system, which is, you know, the implication when you first look at it. But Windows users will no longer need to actively seek the upgrade. This mirrors an accidental change that Microsoft did earlier this month. Windows 10 upgrade was showing up for some people as a recommended update, and the installer started automatically. That surprise change wasn't very popular, and Microsoft's probably going to do the same thing again. But,
awesome.
Pretty much, you remember a couple weeks ago I did the story that once that installer starts, it's very, very difficult to get out of it without Windows 10 being installed. So,
I feel like Alt F4 would probably do the trick.
It might. That's certainly a possibility. But I tell you, I'm going to leave the broadcast box running Windows 8 until it automatically upgrades to 10. I want to see it do it. I was originally planning on swapping it up for a Linux box, but I've had some other ideas on how to hook it up. So I'm just going to leave it running Windows 8, and I'm going to roll my main machine to Linux this weekend. I think I was planning on doing it last weekend, but it turns out I have a lot more shit to back up than I thought I did. So that, and I got sucked into playing Portal Stories, so I kind of wanted to finish that before I did the format. But those, you know, valid points aside... It's time to wrap up Windows in a virtual machine where it safely belongs. So, that's my solution to this. Is I'm just saying fuck it and getting off Windows. I don't know, Static. You didn't indicate that you particularly minded that Microsoft was pushing this kind of stuff. And I'll admit, for most people, it's probably a good thing to go ahead and let Microsoft manage your Windows for you.
So okay. I had some additional thoughts to our previous conversation. So let me preface that with what I originally said.
Okay.
I don't care. That's the underlying statement. I don't care. And the reason I don't care, life circumstances, blah, 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 blah. I've gone through, life's too short. I don't care. So, but you bring up a good point. Most people actually probably should let this happen because, one, Microsoft is going to push out more security patches, meaning less likely to get viruses, you know, spyware, stuff like that. At least less likely to get the uncontrolled spyware and viruses. You know,
the third party stuff, not the Microsoft.
Right, exactly. So, the ones that would completely render your computer useless, put it that way. You know, at least the controlled ones are only halfway do that, right? Anyways, but at the end of the day, you know, as I stated before, who cares? Because if somebody is really that concerned about what website I go to, what I type into my computer, you know, what video I watch, you know, whatever, unless it is physically going to harm me with some regulation that they come out with or my family, I don't care.
Like, what I want to know is why Microsoft is so intent on getting everybody on Windows 10. Like, what is the actual reasoning behind it?
Well, it's probably because they don't want Windows 7 to be the next Windows XP. Windows XP hung on for 14 years before they finally obsoleted it. And I'll bet that thing was expensive for them to maintain patches for, especially when Vista was out and yep. Windows 7 was out. I'm sure that's a very practical business reason. But this telemetry stuff makes me wonder.
It comes down to a money factor at the end of the day. You're right. They're looking for ways to increase their bottom dollar.
My question is, are they actually saving as much money as they would make by selling Windows for $100 a pop? Because, you know, that's not an insignificant amount of money that they would be making from that.
Well, I assume most people don't buy an individual copy of Windows unless they're a company.
Oh, okay, well, $50 a pop or whatever it works out to.
It's not even that. I mean, most people get their Windows license when they buy their computer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually have an HP Stream 11 because I just, you know, wanted to play with one, and they're cheap. The version of Windows it came with, I looked it up. It's called Windows 8 with Bing. Now, I went ahead and let that one roll to Windows 10 so I could play with it. And I'm probably going to wipe it out and put, there's an Android distro I found called Console OS I've been meaning to play with, so I think that's what it was called, Console? Anyways, it was Kickstarter, and they just released it for free, so I've been meaning to play with that. But, you know, I just use it as a little experiment, hacktop kind of thing.
Yep.
And the Windows that it came with was called Windows 8 with Bing. And the only difference between Windows 8 with Bing and Windows 8 is Microsoft didn't charge HP anything for that license of Windows. It was free.
Okay.
And I think that was more because the machine is underpowered, for one thing.
Right.
So if it meets certain spec requirements, like less than 2 gigs of RAM, so of course it's got 2 gigs of RAM and that's it, you know, less than a certain amount of hard drive space, it qualifies for their program to get Windows basically, you know, for free or at cost, so that, you know, it was basically Microsoft's way of trying to get people to stop buying Chromebooks because, you know, the Chromebooks are about $200 and the only way to get a PC down that cheap was to drop the Microsoft license.
Right.
So, because the hardware is the same. In fact, the HP put out a Chromebook that is almost identical hardware. It's just running Chrome instead of Windows 8. So, but so I think at this point it's more they're worried about market share, and they're looking at the Apple model where Apple only maintains really one version of their operating system, and that's the most current one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even on the mobile side, they only go on the one up to date version, and that's it. And you know, if your device doesn't support the latest version, oh, too bad, it's obsolete. Go buy a new one. iPad 1s are only about 4 years old, 5 years old. When did they come out? 2010?
I think so.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have computers that are 5 years old, that are more than 5 years old. Perfectly serviceable, decent machines.
Mm-hmm.
Still usable. That iPad 1 is damn near useless because about the only thing it runs is its web browser, and it does that pretty damn poorly.
Right.
And a lot of the third-party stuff in the App Store will not run on it because they all want at least iOS 6 or 7.
Right.
So, you know, you can... you can still run the older versions of the apps, and you can still use it. It's not completely useless, but it's, for all intents and considered obsolete by the market, so you will never see new software for that thing. Even though it's only 4 years old, that's not very old as far as modern hardware goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
Yeah, you know,
I think this is their chance, their try at doing something like that.
You know, that's not the answer that the conspiracy theorist in me was looking for, but it does make sense.
Well, the answer the conspiracy theorist wants is that they're monitoring everything that you do, they're observing things, they want to put advertising, they want to start streaming things into your machine. That's, oh, we feel you need this software, and since we already have your Microsoft Store account, excuse me, we've purchased it for you on your credit card, and we're making some space on your hard drive, because you really didn't need those videos. And, oh, yeah, we see all this music that was pirated. We're just going to go ahead and charge you for that. And, oh, well, we saw you streamed a TV show on an unauthorized website. So instead of filing a lawsuit, we're just going to charge you for the video. And, yeah, that's the conspiracy theorist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
there we go. That's what I was looking for.
I don't think Microsoft wants to do that, because that would immediately make everyone go running for something else.
Oh, yeah.
No, Microsoft doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
But there are other companies that would love to make Microsoft do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember the exact quote now. It's been a while since I read the article, but there was a guy representing the DMCA, one of their lawyers, who said, why can't the people who make computers just filter out our stuff? You know,
right.
And I remember laughing at it, because this was also like, jeez. Static, I think it was only a couple years after we graduated high school. It was right after Napster was shut down. So
That's been a while.
Yeah. So that's why I don't remember it very well. But you saying we're old? I want to be
yes.
Old. Damn it, I'm not old.
I feel 80.
Well, you've been through hell. You've got an excuse to feel old.
True. And as I stated earlier, though, y'all are too damn paranoid.
It is
ahead,
a bit of paranoia, because honestly, I don't think Microsoft is going to do anything horrible with the data they're collecting. I just don't think they should be collecting data without me okaying it. I don't like it being on by default. I don't like needing to work to turn it off. I think it should ask, is it okay if we share this stuff with Microsoft? Because honestly, what most of it's doing, it's trying to make their voice recognition a little better for their virtual assistant. They're doing some correlation to try to sell targeted ads to people eventually. And it's nothing super malicious. Yeah. I just don't want them doing it without my okay.
And to be fair,
I want it to be off by default and then ask me if I want to do it.
To be fair, the Windows 8 installer does ask you several of these things. It's the Windows 10 one that does not. It's all on by default.
You know, and that's the problem I have with Windows 10, is it's on by default.
And, you know, like, to be completely honest, like, I don't really expect Microsoft has some sort of malicious motives or anything like that. And I don't think even the government at this point in time has extremely malicious motives or, you know, extreme sight to, like, control the populace or anything like that.
Well, that's not the thing I'm worried about. Well.
Well, kind of. Not to the extent that you'd see in a lot of dictatorships or anything like that. Like, there's no thought crime. People aren't getting arrested. Well, okay, I guess people are getting arrested.
Obama does.
But, like, the big problem that I see is, like, once they get all of this surveillance infrastructure in place, and yeah, you know, they're just making sure you don't have pirated software on your computer, okay, that's fine. But what happens when a government gets... Just let me finish. What happens when a government gets in place that all of a sudden is a much more authoritarian? There we go. That's the word. Or you know, like, and is willing to exploit all of these types of things that are already in place. You know, like, no government is stable. No country has lasted forever. Shit happens. There's civil wars. There's, you know, some dictatorship comes into place out of a democracy. You know, this sort of thing happens. And what happens if a dictatorship or something arises in the United States? They're going to have all of this infrastructure in place to have, like, an iron grip over the entire population.
It's kind of already happened. We have had a political party target its opponents using the IRS. Now, you can argue that it didn't come from the administration. There were just people in that organization that thought the same way the administration thought and decided to target those who thought differently. But that did happen in 2012. It can reasonably be argued that we have a second term of Obama because the IRS went after the political organizations that were opposed to his ideologies and were attempting to get him out of power.
Go ahead, Static. What were you going to say?
Well, two things to reiterate what Madman's saying. Yes, it's already happening. You know, think about Google. You know, they're tracking your Gmail, you know, their YouTube videos, you know, you're getting recommendations based on what you watch, blah, 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 whatever, right? So you're still getting targeted now. This is nothing new, nothing for people to get up in arms about, in my opinion.
The However, big difference, though, is that you're not getting arrested for going and watching, like, an Islamist attack video or something like that. You know, that sort of thing isn't quite happening yet.
And that's my second point. Too many people are living in the what if. Well, you know, what if a meteor struck the Earth? What's it going to look like?
Well, yeah, but that's not something you can't do anything about that. You know, like, and I think that the what if is extremely important because without the what if, then there's all kinds of bad shit that could be going on. I think people need to look at what's going on in the world today and try to extrapolate what could be going on tomorrow. That's like basic human survival.
I disagree.
Oh, okay, okay. Getting back to the Windows thing, though, here. Madman made the point of, Swell said, you know, okay, they remove, you know, pirated software. I hate that idea because that means the computer is reporting what you have installed on it back to Windows. Or back to Microsoft, I should say. And that bothers me, number one, because of that. But number two, how do you define pirated? Well, what if it's just software they don't like? Germany outlawed hacking tools, okay? Hacking tools are part of my job. I use those on a very regular basis for legitimate reasons, I might point out. So does that mean that to use those tools, I either A, have to have some kind of a license that I have these tools, or does it B, mean that I just simply can't use that version of Windows and I have to, you know, use Backtrack or whatever, which truthfully I do anyways. But, you know, there's some Windows tools I really like. Network Miner is a fantastic tool, but it's classified as a hacking tool.
So what percent of the user populace uses hacking tools?
Well,
for malicious intent versus, in your case, a legitimate business intent.
I'd say that probably the majority of users of hacking tools use them for legitimate intent. I've used a number of hacking tools before, and it's always been for completely legitimate purposes, like pulling a Windows key out of a Windows box so somebody could reinstall their system, and I didn't have to, like, and they had lost their CD key on the box or whatever. Or, you know, just like stuff like that. You know, there's tons of perfectly legitimate uses
for these
types of
things. Are you monitoring your network and doing any type of network security?
Oh, okay, hacking
every tool
tools
I know for
aside.
That is also a hacking tool.
Hacking tool aside, because it's not a point that it's... I'm not defending hacking tools versus, you know, any other classification. There are tons of little programs out there. And I know this because I've tried to do application whitelisting in a pseudo-corporate environment before. It was actually a school. But there are so many little one-off programs out there for different areas. The different people in different sciences have these little one-off programs that you've never heard of before but are crazy expensive because they run a piece of lab equipment. And that piece of equipment's only in, you know, maybe 1,000 buildings. So this whole idea of all applications have to be approved by Microsoft is scary to me because you will murder the industry doing that. I know there are app stores and the app stores try to approve everything and you have all this niche stuff, but you know, you read articles all the time about people who get their stuff pulled from the app store for no reason, or they can't get their stuff approved because they've, you know, got a Apple pulled every app out of the App Store that featured a Confederate flag to make a political statement. I mean, I don't want software subjected to that because it makes the tools you need to do various jobs difficult to trust if the system is controlled by somebody else and they can change it willy-nilly. So it's not about the hacking tools. It's about the general concept of, you can't run that application. And to make matters worse, the first time that Microsoft reaches into a large number of machines and pulls a program off, even if it's like a virus or malware or something, the first time that happens, you're going to see lawyer after lawyer after lawyer after lawyer line up at their door saying, if you don't enforce the removal of this file, this music, this movie, this software, we're suing you because you have shown the ability to be able to enforce it.
Yeah.
So, are we making a slippery slope argument? Yes. Yes, we are. But it's also based on human nature, and human nature is not logical. So,
not again. Logical. Oh, God, not again.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, that's where Static and I went round and round and round and round on this one. But I generally believe that human behavior is less than logical. I mean, not saying people are incapable of logic, but,
I'm going to go with groups, maybe not, but if you look at an individual with the information they have, they tend to make logical choices for what's best for them in that situation or moment. Okay. Oh boy. Okay, here we go again. So, groups. If you take 10 people, and you have the same 10 people in group A and group B, and when I say the same 10 people, I mean the same makeup of males, of age groups, of nationalities, of...
Let's just say we take 10 clones and...
classic variables, yeah. Okay? Right, okay, 10 clones. And you give them a nondescript...
It's the Bobs.
...red ball. It's the Bobs. Nice. you give them a red ball, okay? There's nothing on the red ball. It's a rubber red ball, okay? So it is the same for both groups. And you tell them... describe the ball. You're going to get the same answers group to group. Logically.
Probably,
yes.
Yeah.
I've been over this before. I don't think you will. I think you'll get different answers based on different things.
Starting conditions are identical and you have literal clones on each side, yeah, you'll probably have a similar description. But like literally, if the room has pink wallpaper or if the room has blue wallpaper will actually impact the answer to that. Like there's so many different variables that impact a human psyche that it's, unless you have identical starting conditions,
test at the same time of day too.
Yeah.
But right there, you just said it. The conditional still tells me though that a group can think logically together to describe an object, a situation, whatever.
Only if they can communicate effectively, and that's like one of the biggest problems, is that people suck at communicating. And, I feel like that's one of the bigger issues with...
this is why you get riots and mob mentality.
Here's my argument against that, Static. The mortgage crisis. In Las Vegas, in the course of a few years, house values more than quadrupled in price, even though there was no reduction in the available housing for people. There was no massive increase in the income of people. So no shortage, no increase in demand, prices quadrupled. And the reason they were quadrupling is people were able to find morons willing to buy it. If people were logical, they wouldn't have been paying four times the value of a house. Because everything that you could look at, price of materials for the house, cost of building the house, all of that had remained the same. People were attempting to find someone willing to purchase it, and those people were idiots. They weren't thinking logically. And that was... throughout enough of the U.S. that it toppled banks.
And if people weren't corrupt, we wouldn't have been in that situation to begin with.
That had nothing to do with corrupt.
Yes, it did.
Steve, working at wherever, buying a house, was paying four times the price. He didn't have to pay four times the price. He could have said, I'm not buying the house.
Right. But the people that actually approved him for X house at whatever value it is, you know, four times, five times, whatever, doesn't matter, they shouldn't have done it to begin with.
Because maybe they weren't acting logically?
Steve agreed to pay it back.
They were acting greedily.
I can show you that I can pay you back $100 million and agree to pay you back $100 million, and you're able to make 4% interest on it, why wouldn't you give me the loan?
That's different. That's not what they were doing, though.
That's what a mortgage is.
But the housing bubble, the reason it popped is because they were approving people that were not able to actually perform and pay back over time.
And on some of those mortgages, you're right. The NINA loan, it existed and shouldn't have existed.
But
the overwhelming vast majority of them, people were capable of purchasing and paying it back. They're called strategic defaults. They decided not to because the value of their house dropped.
Guys, we are getting about we're at about 75 feet of that 90-foot rabbit hole stack, and I went down earlier.
All right.
And the final statement I will say, though, is it does come back to corrupt because it's the person that actually upped the value to begin with when they knew that they didn't pay that to begin with. And historically, that's not the value. Anyways,
historically, anyone selling a house doesn't sell it for what they paid for it.
But the ultimate point was that Microsoft is going to be collecting data out of Windows 10, and they are very aggressively pushing it. So, anybody notice the Senate passed CISA?
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
So, now you understand why I'm a little concerned about Microsoft collecting lots of data by default. Because the government is making moves to start collecting that data from them. Now, CISA, I think it's still a voluntary share. But, I mean, there it is.
Well, that's the foot in the door.
There it is. I mean, shit. What more do I have to say? You know, CISA is... it's hard to find a good statement of what the law actually does. It apparently, you know, okays all the NSA spying and makes it to where companies can't be prosecuted for sharing data they collect through their services with the government. The problem is there's so many political... you know, this way I can't get a good statement of what the bill actually does. You know, everybody talks about how it has these privacy issues and how it lets the government do all this spying, but I can't find, you know, the statement of the actual effects of the bill. Not going to find the actual bill, but anybody who's ever actually tried to read one of these knows what a pain in the ass it is to try to even understand what the hell they're on about, because most bills are nothing but references to other documents. So,
did you look at the roll call?
Yeah, they got the roll call on that page. That's why I like this page.
What I find funny is all the running for presidents. Most of them are not voting.
Yeah. Well,
not doing their job. They shouldn't get the nomination. Anyways,
but if I state an opinion on this, I might be attacked for that opinion.
Good.
And you should be. You should be able to defend the opinions that you're taking.
I mean to close out some of these tabs. So, yeah. I've got another article here. EFF is disappointed as CISA passes the Senate. They claim the bill is fundamentally flawed. It doesn't actually protect anything. It simply okays the government spying. So, again, really hard to find the language of what the bill actually is, because every search comes up with some partisan article. But it did pass. So
I don't see, again, a big deal here, because, one, they're already doing it no matter what anyways.
Okay. That is true. This
Prism already exists.
They're just trying to legitimize it. That's true.
So why not go ahead and legitimize it, and then that way at least maybe there could be some regulation around it.
I don't see legitimizing it as a good idea. Just because some people drown babies in a bathtub doesn't mean we should legitimize drowning babies.
Wow, that is such a different... totally different.
No, there is right, there is wrong. If it's wrong to spy on your populace, or wrong to take something without a warrant, or wrong to whatever, it's wrong. You don't say, well, in this circumstance, it's okay. If there's a reason for you to have that data, go to a judge and say, hey, Madman's a fucking retard who's building a bomb in his apartment. We need to go stop him. They'll write you a fucking warrant. I assure
we
you.
We have this recorded, so okay. I can actually send this in, right?
If I catch somebody spying on me, I'm going to be upset and maybe punch them in the face. If I catch somebody drowning babies in the bathtub, I'm loading the shotgun. there is a difference in response.
You know, in the same regard, you know, spying in and of itself is not wrong. You know, if you're doing it for, again, back to malicious intent, okay, that's different.
When it comes to the government, the Fourth Amendment says you need a warrant to look at my shit, my communications, my papers, my everything. They can get a warrant. It's not hard.
The big issue here is that they've already proven that this sort of information is already being used for malicious intent. You know, a perfect example is that, what was it, like the FBI agent who got like all those Bitcoins from the, Dread Pirate Roberts or whatever.
The Silk Road.
Like, yeah, there you go. So, you know, like it's already being shown that like individuals who have access to this information are abusing it. Like, and you know, like that's not the first case where that sort of shit has gone down.
Okay, explain that scenario. Whoa, to me
basically, somebody in the know who knew that Chris
one of the people who worked for the FBI.
Yeah,
one of the people who worked for the FBI who was investigating, the Silk Road case. They used it as part of that investigation. They took the Bitcoin wallet of the guy they arrested, and before he was prosecuted, transferred all the Bitcoin out of that wallet and into a wallet he controlled. So he effectively stole property from the people he was investigating as he arrested them.
I was under the impression that he actually contacted him as a citizen and basically said, okay, well, we're going to rat you out sort of thing unless you pay us. I thought that was the kind of situation.
Maybe I'm misremembering the story.
Yeah, maybe I am too now. I need to look it up again.
Because I know he went. They brought it up that he went to court and admitted what he did. And
yeah, but like from what I thought it was. Here, I'm looking it up here right now.
Was it earlier this year?
Yes.
At least the story broke. Maybe.
I'm just scanning the story here now.
Two now former agents from the Drug Enforcement Administration, the U.S. Secret Service, are charged with wire fraud, money laundering, and other offenses for allegedly stealing Bitcoin during a federal investigation of Silk Road, an underground illicit black market federal prosecutors shut down in 2013. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's the one. Used fake online personas engaged in complex Bitcoin transactions to steal from the government and the targets of the investigations. Force allegedly solicited and received digital currency as part of the investigation, but failed to report his receipt of the funds. So yeah, he got this money from the Silk Road and then pocketed it instead of turning it in.
What I love is how that's, you know, we're taking this money from the Silk Road, but that's actually theft from the government.
Yeah,
as opposed to theft from the Silk Road, because this is before their trial.
Mm-hmm. The but you know, like, not only did they like endanger the investigation, but like they're using proprietary information for personal gain. And if you're going to go ahead and tell me that there aren't like probably thousands of other government officials that are using proprietary information for personal gain, then you are a fucking liar.
That would be most of the Congress and the Senate and their aides and stock markets. But
Static, that's not what I said.
I know. But Static, go ahead and finish up, because I want to kind of blaze through some of these stories, because I just saw the clock.
Sorry. Okay. I said, you know, what does it hurt until they're using it for, you know, negligence or whatever. You know, in this case, yes, it was bad for him to use it for personal gain. However, using it, you know, to shut down crime or whatnot. I think it was perfectly legitimate use of spying.
Well, and if they probably had a warrant for what they were doing.
In that case, there was also a warrant, so this law wouldn't have helped out with the Silk Road. They'd already gotten a warrant.
But even if they hadn't have, I still think, you know, it would have been fine.
The big issue here is that, you know, this proves that people who have access to this information are willing to use it for things other than official purposes.
Now, wait a minute. We got to go back here for a second, because Static just said something interesting. You said it would have been okay, you would be okay with the outcome of this investigating the Silk Road, even if they didn't have a warrant?
If they did not have a warrant and they're shutting down illicit activities that are illegal, yes, I'm completely okay with that.
Well, I mean, of course, there's probable cause, but I mean, there's, and again, this is, you know, the slippery slope argument, but that could go to where, okay, we're going to install a camera in everyone's home to make sure that you're not committing any crimes in there, because if there are, I mean, we're going to put GPS trackers on everybody's car because, you know, you could be using that car in a crime. That opens the door to a lot of behavior if you don't enforce that warrant. Because even though it's a judge rubber stamp, it's somebody in authority saying, yes, we think this is a bad person, we know what's going on is bad, and we should investigate it.
There's
if nothing else,
evolved.
It's a paper trail. You know? But that's interesting that you're okay with skipping the warrant.
Again,
I don't want to argue with you on it. I don't want to go into a deep philosophical debate with you on it. That surprises me.
That's what the warrant is showing, is that we have evidence or reason to believe that there is illicit activity. That's the whole point of a warrant. So if you're saying we don't want a warrant, then it's saying that the government doesn't need to show that there's even an idea that anything illicit is going on. It's, we want to kick down the door of every priest in the world because they're priests. We have no idea that any of them are doing anything wrong. Or every other individual on the planet, because they're people. So the whole warrant is showing, we have reason to believe that this person is committing a crime. Can we investigate it further? We need information or whatever, and we believe they have it.
So last thing I'll say on this, and so I know you want to move forward, is one, the investigation, the quote-unquote spying on activities that you have probable cause for, I don't think is necessary to have a warrant. I think the warrant should come in place when you're going to do the search and seizure at that point.
Oh, you're talking about, that's not spying, that's observation. Spying is putting the camera in your house. Observation is putting the camera across your street.
Spying is still, you know, watching what the person is doing. Yes.
Well, I mean, if you're observing what they're doing in public, that's a little different.
Even,
you could argue the internet is the public.
So setting up a boom mic and listening to conversations, wiretapping, that's spying.
Yes, it is.
Quote, unquote. I think that's okay up to the point of, again, to make a physical arrest or a search and seizure to make, you know, to be the final, the final straw to put the nail in the coffin type thing, you know. At that point, yes, a warrant is necessary. But there are so many political judges, okay, they're so wrapped around political ties, big company ties, there's so much corruption in this country, in the world, doesn't matter, that, you know, I don't trust any of them.
I think that's a different argument.
And on that one, the lack of the warrant would make it easier to be corrupt, because you're not needing to show anyone what you're doing. You're just spying on whomever because you've decided that they're an enemy.
Well, okay, guys, I guess. I mean, I'm not really sure where to go with this, because we're going to go round and round and round all night.
That's the last thing I was saying, so I'm done. Move on.
It's okay to say, we're done, let's move to the next story.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
We're done. Let's move to the next story, because I don't necessarily agree with you there, Static. I just that's gonna be
well.
A hell of
how would I do like the GOP did last night? But I'm coming back to the previous topic.
All right, Well, let's see how well that works for you. The European Union has, this is from the Independent Cody K, the European Union has voted legislation that will require all internet providers to treat online traffic without discrimination, effectively ending porn filters established by David Cameron. Remember a few years back, the UK passed laws basically putting porn and content filters in place in the UK by default, and you had to opt out of them. Well, the European Union has just said, no, you can't do that, that they basically are taking the default net neutrality stance.
I hate to rain on everybody's parade. This is non-binding. You think the UK is going to back down and like get rid of their porn filters? No.
No, they're not, but it's funny.
It is, because but it also means
nothing. I just
find
it amusing. Well, it also means that their porn filters are probably useless, because I doubt a lot of people are opting in.
Yeah. So, it's totally useless. Even if they didn't have the ability to opt out, you could still it's still useless.
So I'm confused. What is your stance on the filters?
I don't like them because I don't like the idea of a government entity telling me what I can and cannot look at in on my own equipment in my own time.
There's already all kinds of adult content filters that people can go and purchase or get for free and install on their computer systems. It's not a rocket science.
If
somebody
wants
to block their kids from seeing stuff, you can do that without the government getting involved.
If you want to censor something, you should not be censoring it in one medium. For example, let's use the classic argument. We all agree child porn is bad. Child porn is horrible and should be censored. But it should not just be censored on the internet. It is illegal to possess it, period.
Yeah.
Right? So we're not making internet-specific laws saying, oh, ISPs all have to filter the internet for this content. We're saying this content is illegal no matter what form it's in, whether it's on a cassette tape or a CD or on a computer, or I don't know if people are still using reel-to-reel film, but whatever, Polaroid, whatever. You're going to say, okay, that's illegal. That's illegal to possess. It doesn't matter whether it's on the internet or not.
Yeah.
So if you want to censor content, you need to do it regardless of medium. So if you want to say, oh no, you've got to put content filters on ISPs because think of the children, that's pointless government censorship.
Yeah.
And it's probably pointless and a waste of money.
Yeah, and I personally don't really have a lot of issues if like somebody finds kiddie porn on the internet. If the government can go and like push out domain name block to all the ISPs, you know what? Go ahead. It's kiddie porn. It's illegal. Sure. But
well, I'd rather instead of domain name blocks, they need to go shut down whoever.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, I'm okay with the government censoring that kind of content, but that's because it's illegal and people are getting hurt. The thing about the porn censor, it's not even illegal. Like, it's not even against the law, but they're still censoring it because of the morality, I guess?
Well, I think they were worried about children.
Okay, let parents do that, thank you very much.
And you're not disagreeing with me at all, so... anybody
I like the internet
here?
Being a dumb pipe.
So I don't disagree. I would rather it be open and whatever comes through. However, again, it comes back to until there's malicious intent. And at that point, I think there should be, stuff that could block that. There is,
I think that can be done on individual PCs. Like, if I don't want my kids looking at porn, I'll block it. Or even more importantly, I'll just know what my kids are mostly looking at on the internet.
Pretty easy to set up a little, computer in a box router to block the domains and log everything.
Oh, I'm not.
As long as you don't show your kids how to use VPNs like I do.
I'll teach them everything, but if you've raised your child and have actually been a part of their life, their entire life, they're not going to keep a lot of things secret from you. You can have open conversations with children.
You say that.
My parents knew every dumb thing I did. I even walked into the house with weed and said, "Hey, Dad, I've got weed."
And again, until you've had kids.
Well, I know with my relationship with my parents, My dad hated my music. He listened to them and decided whether or not it was moral and didn't give me shit. Taught me right and wrong, and if you teach them that, you're probably going to have moral kids. Most serial killers can point out all the stupid shit their parents did that helped lead them to being serial killers. I have to say most. Some people are just born evil.
Oh, you can't say that then. Then the gays get a good hand up. They're just born gay, which I don't agree with.
That could be evil.
So, next story here is from BGR. Comcast data caps are apparently just low enough that you only brush up to them if you're streaming. And as somebody who used to have Comcast, I agree with this. Because I kept, as soon as they implemented them, I started hitting them every month because I don't do regular TV. I stream everything, whether it's from Netflix or YouTube or other sites, such as PrimeWire. So,
you know, I
and some
I,
iTunes. I know a little bit of iTunes streaming.
I've been on data caps of, I think it was like 200 megs, and I watched like, I don't know, a good 6 to 8 hours of Netflix a day, like a lot of streaming. And I never ran out of bandwidth. It was only when I was downloading like lots of games and stuff too. That's when I was starting running into issues. But
well, I
really,
should point
like,
out,
I use
an Amazon Firebox, and most of my stuff is actually streamed in HD by default.
Oh, okay.
It took up to a pretty good sized TV.
Yeah, that's an issue. Like that's one thing that I always did though, because I was aware of those bandwidth caps. I went into my Netflix account and just set it to medium by default.
Well, see, now that's, in my mind, that sucks, because that means you have to intentionally not do HD content because of a cap. And, you know, I had the 300 gig monthly cap, and I brushed up against it a lot right before I moved, because they turned it on a couple of months before I moved, so I managed to get to a different ISP, which was nice. But, I mean, the article is full of them talking to different customers and them monitoring their usage and figuring out that, yes, it is the streaming. And I started, I'll be honest, it's when I got the Amazon box, I started brushing up against the cap, because before then I wasn't streaming HD content all the damn time.
Right.
I was actually mostly watching, you know, either old stuff already had or the occasional downloaded thing. But yeah, now that I'm streaming it all the time and in HD to my TV, and, you know, it looks every bit as good as regular, you know, cable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hit it all the time. And so the operating theory is that Comcast is intentionally putting their data caps at such a point so that you'll, you know, go with their regular TV service as well, which is crazy expensive.
Yeah.
As opposed to streaming all the time.
Oh, yeah. And, like, don't get me wrong. This is like anti-competitive nature of their business, and
well, we don't have any competition
be,
in our ISPs
and
anymore,
possibly
so.
Even regulated out. But it's not a good setup. I'm not disagreeing with you there, but you know, I'm just saying, like, if you have a data cap, there are ways that you can mitigate your extra costs and still have all the streaming you want.
It is interesting that Comcast has eliminated their data caps in places where they're competing with Google or other ISP or the local municipal ISPs that aren't capped and are good speed.
Yeah.
So competition works.
This just in, Comcast is a shitty company.
I think that's... Anybody else have anything on shitting on Comcast before I go to the actually really cool story here?
A way to fix the problem is to allow competition in ISPs.
Ta-da. I don't know how we get there from there, but I agree with you. I would love to know how to get there from here, but practically, I should say, because yeah, obviously, you just kill the regulation and let competition spring up. But those companies don't exactly act the way you'd expect. So, anyways, this last story is from Ars Technica. So researchers are okay on Tuesday. The Food and Drug Administration approved the first viral-based cancer therapy. The virus, called talgamide lethepervec, or TVEC, is genetically engineered herpes simplex virus that can help treat advanced melanoma. Its genetic tweaks make it incapable of usurping normal, healthy cells, thus it doesn't cause herpes. But when it meets cancer cells, it initiates cellular carnage. The virus is also engineered to carry a gene encoding of the GM-CSF protein, which triggers the immune system. As the virus ravages cancer cells, the GM-CSF gets released, boosting the patient's natural defenses. This is a step one of a cancer cure. They basically engineered a virus that attacks tumors and only tumors.
And it tells your body to send white blood cells to kill the thing.
Now, that is cool. They are saying this is not a wonder drug, this is not a cure for cancer, but it's helpful. Which, yeah. I'm looking at this as step one of a legitimate means of dealing with this issue.
There's one line in this article that makes me a little bit leery of trusting this. Like, I'd actually really like to know.
Apocalypse.
I'd like to know their study size and everything, because the one line they say the results are just shy of showing a statistically significant benefit to overall health.
Yeah.
So that means that, okay, it might help a little bit, but not a lot.
I like this, but, this line at the bottom one, so here. Okay. Researchers found the virus shrank tumors and extended patient survival by a median of 4.4 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, obviously it's not a wonder drug. It's not the cure for cancer, but this is a step in the right direction.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool. You'd have to look at the sample, because a lot of times when they're allowing people to use these experimental drugs, they're people that are going to be dead anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It also could be the start of the zombie apocalypse. I think that's how the Will Smith movie, what was that?
I Am Legend?
Yeah. Thank you, because I knew it was based off a book. But yeah, it's how I Am Legend was set up, was they had the cure for cancer and it caused zombieism. Or vampirism, or whatever the hell that was. Anyways.
You know, what I don't get is why they're always using all of these viruses that you would not want to have. Like herpes? Oh yeah, let's just give everybody herpes who has cancer, because, you know... Why not? Like, can't they find some, like, nice kind of benign viruses that don't have, like, possible negative consequences?
Well, you need like, a virus that's going to decimate or, the like... tumor, so you want to start with one that already knows how to decimate a human cell.
Like, the benign viruses don't do anything to us.
That's the point.
So what's that on your lip? That's my anti-cancer herpes. Okay, that's wrong. They said it doesn't cause herpes, that they tweaked it so it didn't do that.
Oh, good thing viruses don't mutate ever.
Right.
Thank you, flu vaccine. Oh god, we're gonna turn into zombies. This is gonna be fucking amazing. I need to buy more bullets.
No, sorry.
So I don't actually have that much for Dojo tonight, but just to wrap up, the operating system I was talking about wanting to play with earlier is actually called Console OS, and I'm going to have a link. Go throw that out here. And pretty much they kickstarted a rebuild of the Android x86 project. And they've got a list of supported machines. That HP Stream 11 is one of them. And pretty much it looks like they've got Android running pretty well on the cheaper Intel Bay Trail hardware.
Hmm.
They've got, you know, Atom builds and a few other things like that. Apparently it picks up the touchscreen on all the touchscreen laptops quite well. So, and it's designed to dual boot between Windows 8 and Android. So... And there's a lot of useful apps for Android that will run on a lower power machine, like, you know, some of these cheaper laptops and tablets. So I'm interested in playing with it, and because it's an open OS, it's something you can work on that's, you know, say, not doing the telemetry shit. Unless you install all the Google Play apps, then, well, all bets are off, right? But and in case that one doesn't work, I've also got a link to the original Android x86 project here, because I'm pretty sure that's what Console OS is based off of. So we'll go ahead and throw that in for good measure. But if you've never played with Android on the PC, it's interesting because I've ran it on a netbook before, and it's actually more useful than you would give it credit for, because it picks up most – it'll usually pick up a lot of your hardware. Wi-Fi is sometimes iffy, but you usually get a USB card that works. And you can take a machine that's really underpowered and throw this on there, because, you know, it's designed for cell phones, right? And keep it running a little bit longer, making it more useful. So, I don't know. Has anybody else played with Android on x86 or in VMs other than the dev tools, like the emulator?
No.
Is that a no?
Negative.
Eh. It's interesting. I mean, you know, Suave, I know you played with one of those compute sticks, I think.
No, I
thought you had one of those Android sticks.
No, I've just got the Raspberry Pi. I was looking at buying one of those Android sticks, and I shopped around for a while, but I never really found one that I wanted. I think Big may have picked one up.
Oh, is that
I picked a couple of those up.
Oh, okay.
A couple different versions of those. So I guess, yeah, in that case, yeah, I did play with a few of those.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly the same thing. This basically would let you set up a laptop like it's one of those TV sticks.
All right. So. The ones I got were totally horribly useless.
Well, I had one that I didn't get to play with very long before the damn thing basically died on me. Strangely enough, it was right after the 90 days.
Do they just not have a community building stuff for them, or are they just crap hardware?
Oh, this was crap hardware. I mean, it like shorted out, died, and took a USB port with it.
Sounds like Hewlett Packard.
Well, some no-name Chinese thing, but yeah, who knows? So
every Hewlett Packard computer we had growing up, as soon as the warranty ran out, it would crap out.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, it was plugged into an ancient Dell desktop that I actually got from my dad because it was like his computer two computers ago. And I was just using it because it was in the room and I could use it for a power source for this thing while I worked on it. And when it crapped out, it took out the USB port with it. And it could have been that computer crapping out because I ended up that computer had other issues. So maybe in a broadcast box for the station for a while now that I think on it. I don't remember. Anyways, I remember it took out that Android stick and it was kind of the end of that. But I'd had it too long to really send it back. So
that's when you take it into Walmart. They'll take everything back.
I'm pretty sure they don't care.
It doesn't fucking matter.
$5. It worth $5.
Like, damn it, I bought it here.
It says New Egg on the side. I bought it from the guy in the parking lot with the trench coat.
Fucking lied.
This crack I bought in your parking lot's not working, man. I'm only seeing spiders into the good stuff. I'd like to return it for a refund, please.
I think this is mostly baking soda, sir.
That explains the nosebleeds. Wow. That's all I got. So this has been the Pure Decking Philosophy Hour, and...
Sorry.
No, it's
cool.
Oh,
don't be sorry. I love those conversations.
I let it run as long as I did. It's fine. I just wanted to knock out some of these stories before we called it a night and close out the time here. That's all I got. Anybody have anything before I close things out? 3, 2, 1.